Continuing with Connections, I'm Rick Moore, along with Heather Atwood today, with the story behind something. Heather always has a story, don't you?
I do. I have a story. I have a tiny story behind a story today. But I have a lot of other regular stories.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are once again at the Pleasant Street Tea Company, and let's start with the article that was in the paper, the Gloucester Times this week, about a video, a fish video. Do I have that right?
Five fish videos. Well, actually, four recipes and one introduction by the renowned fishing commissioner of Gloucester, Al Cotone.
Okay. All right, so a little background on all this.
So, last summer, I participated in a workshop that was run by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And it was called Local Food, Local Places. It was a program that was supposed to, that was awarded to certain cities, in which they were going to investigate how to rebuild, rework, redo their local food systems. Mm-hmm. So I sat around with a lot of people in the city at City Hall. We broke into workshops or tables and in a workshop, and we all had conversations about what can we do? What can we do to improve our local food systems? And a bunch of us had the idea of creating some cooking videos because, you know, that's where my head goes. So I got in touch with my really wonderful friend, Annie Copps. Annie Copps is she's an exquisite chef. She's a great chef. She's worked at Olive's, at Todd English's restaurants, many others. But more recently, she's been the executive editor at Boston Magazine and food editor at Yankee Magazine. She's done a lot of stints on the Today Show. I've seen her bake apple pies in the middle of Times Square for national television. She's really talented. She's very funny. She's incredibly entertaining. So I just knew she would be great talking about Gloucester fish.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So how do we view these videos?
So all you need to do, I'll just go on. So we made these cooking videos. Al Cotone brought four local fish, pollock, whiting, redfish, and flounder, to my kitchen, and Annie produced these recipes. They're her recipes. She created the recipes, and then she cooked each of them. They were produced and directed by Jordan Gary, videographer, and he's a local guy also. And so each of the recipes is a freestanding video. And you can go to the Gloucester Fresh website, that is a city-run website, and the videos are there. You can watch the videos, you can get the recipes, and they're all, you know, as I said to the Gloucester Times this week, we really wanted something updated. We wanted recipes that were a little bit more modern, really easy for the home cook, but just kind of had a little bit more 2017 to them, you know.
I'm always interested in the technical part of it. How long did it take you to put together a 4 or 5 minute video?
It took all day, but we did, I'm trying to think, you know, we did the four cooking videos and the one introduction with Al Cotone, and it was a long day.
Mm-hmm. There were
a lot.
Done in one day.
We did them all in one day,
okay.
Yeah, but it takes a lot.
Okay.
But the reason it actually didn't take forever was because Annie Copps is so good. I mean, I think we did each of them in one take. There were no retakes because she just talks. She knows what she's saying. She's clear. She knows her food. She's brilliant. She's really good.
Sounds like someone else I know. We're down to number 31 and 30?
We are at 31 and 30. 31 is prosciutto. Now, you know what prosciutto is because your wife is Italian. You don't know. Oh, my gosh. He's looking at the ceiling. That is just shocking.
I do, but I just... You say it better.
I really hope your wife isn't listening to this show. Okay, so prosciutto is Parma ham. It is ham...
Oh, with olives in it and stuff?
No. It's produced in Parma, Italy, and it has one of those designations where it cannot be... You can't call it Parma ham. You can't call a Virginia ham a Parma ham. It can only be called Parma if it's created in Parma, Italy. And it is...
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm positive about that, actually. the other things can be called prosciutto, because what it is, a Parma ham is a prosciutto, which is a cured leg of a pig. So it is not cooked, it's cured. All it is, if it's done the right way, is a lot of salt is rubbed on the outside, and it's hung for at least 12 months in a dark place in Parma. Okay, it has to be in Parma. Now, lots of places create prosciutto. There's domestic prosciutto, but you can't call them a Parma ham. So I think for the purposes of number one, or 31, I mean, we can say prosciutto.
Okay.
because it's just simply really popular.
Okay.
But I do have one little, this is where my story goes.
We're going to
fit my tiny little story in here.
Yeah, cool.
So one of the very traditional ways of serving prosciutto, at least in Italy, is wrapped around a piece of melon. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Yep. So cantaloupe, traditionally cantaloupe, but sometimes watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in Italy, that is a famous thing to serve. Beautiful wedges of cantaloupe with these paper-thin pieces of prosciutto laying over
them.
Now, in the Italians have very, very specific ideas about digestion. I mean, they're obsessed with digestion.
Mm-hmm.
They believe you have to eat in certain things to have it all digest well. Well, they actually believed until probably the 18th century that you would die if you ate cantaloupe by itself. You actually had to eat it with prosciutto.
See, I believe that. That's one thing I do believe.
That is what's really funny about you. Exactly. So they thought it would chill your organs.
So it's not true then. Okay. Damn.
So you're going to run out and get a piece of ham to put over that piece of watermelon you have now, right?
Now I'll have it, yeah.
Right. So, no, they thought it would chill your organs and that you would die.
Okay.
So you had to eat prosciutto with your cantaloupe.
Well, it certainly makes sense to me.
And you and a lot of Italians.
There you go. All right.
I'm sure there are many who still think that, by the way.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of vegetables. If you eat them alone, they'll kill you.
Exactly.
Right?
True.
You got to put them in French dressing, and then it works. Okay, so what are we down to, 30?
30 is, I'm not even going to try to say the Vietnamese name for Vietnamese spring rolls.
What is it called?
Vietnamese spring rolls.
Okay.
I will spell it. G-O-I word C-O-I-N, I think. So goi, quan, mm-hmm. something like that. But I do know them well. They are absolutely delicious. Again, we're back in Southeast Asia, where mm-hmm. the voting really seems to have happened on this,
right.
you know, 1 through 50 list. But these spring rolls are really beautiful. They are not the fried kind. They are a little bundle of usually fresh herbs like mint and basil, with maybe a little piece of chicken, maybe a piece of shrimp, a little bit of very finely chopped lettuce. So really fresh tastes inside this little bundle, which is wrapped in a rice paper wrap. So it's cool tasting, it's fresh tasting, and then you dip it in some sort of savory sauce. It usually has fish sauce in it. They are delicious. I love making them.
That sounds does. Now, so how many of these on the top 50? Let's see, we've gone from 30 to 50. You've sampled most of this stuff?
No. I did not sample the stinky tofu. I haven't had the stinky tofu.
God.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember which. And that was up there. Well, that was the beginning of the list. I'd say maybe three quarters of these things I've had. Yeah.
And the green fried crab, you actually had that?
That was not on this list, but
I
have had that. Yes. In fact, there's going to be another fried soft shell green crab night at Woodman's this coming Monday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So. You heard it here first. Okay. Update on the other Cape.
So the other Cape, right now we have a story up about Innovation House in Magnolia. Do you know about Innovation House? Well, it's a pretty cool story. This tech guy, he invented the browser Opera. His name is Jan von Techner. He knew nothing about Gloucester. He was living in Norway. He's originally from Iceland. He was living in Norway, and he created this Opera browser. It did really, really well. It had tons of fans. People, I mean, I did not understand when I wrote this that one could be a fan of a browser, but it's kind of a culty thing. And the Opera browser did really well. So it was, it went public. It went through that whole thing. And so, you know, it was a huge success. And then Jan von Techner was very upset because the new board kind of did not treat his employees well, and he's a people who believes in his people. He's a person who believes in his people. Sorry. So he left Opera, and he roamed around a little bit trying to figure out where he would live. Now, this is a man who grew up in Iceland and then lived for maybe 20 years in Norway, but he's a tech guy, so he's looking over there at Silicon Valley, right? But there's no way an Icelander could live in Silicon Valley. So he landed in Gloucester. Yeah, so he says that Gloucester looks a lot. He said the ocean looks like Iceland, and the snow looks like Norway. So he loves it here, and he has started something over in Magnolia called Innovation House. He has built a new browser called Vivaldi.
Vivaldi,
which is also incredibly popular with the little his not little. It's a pretty large user group.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in the month of June, he has all his Vivaldi team in Norway come to Magnolia and stay at Innovation House, and you'll see them, like all these very Scandinavian-looking people running around Magnolia and Gloucester. But he also invites people to come to Innovation House. Startups, you know, wanting advice can come there.
Mm-hmm.
He has a separate Innovation House in Iceland. And he invites Iceland. He uses the Innovation House here as a place for Icelanders to set up camp in the U.S.
This is on the other Cape, so we don't want to give too much away.
I'm sorry, right. Okay, end of story. That's it.
Okay.
You have to go to the other Cape to read more.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you have to go to the other Cape to see the fabulous picture taken by Jason Groh of Jan van Tekner.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. And the other Cape website?
The other Cape, www.theothercape.com.
Okay. Okay, and let's see here. A couple of other things. You mentioned last week Happy
Belly.
Happy Belly.
Belly,
yes. The Serenity Group has done it again. They have opened. I think the official opening, I shouldn't say have opened. The official opening is tomorrow for Happy
Thursday?
Belly.
What's
yes, Thursday. Right. This will air tomorrow. So I went to one of the many sort of debut dinners last week, and it's going to be a very fun place. What is the funnest part of it is it's open from 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. So they do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if any of us were around for the Glass Sailboat and the Sunny Day Cafe, did you ever go to either
Glass
one
Sailboat,
of those?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it was a great place to go at 9 o'clock in the morning. You'd see some people. You'd get a cup of coffee and a blueberry muffin, just as we do here. And it was a good communal place, and I missed that. So that will be back. Along with smoothies and there are all kinds of fancy coffee drinks.
Did you want to mention an upcoming event at the end of the month?
Yes, I do. This is really something that's close to my heart because the city of Gloucester is honored to have in residence now Barbara Lynch. Now, you're nodding blandly, but if you're a cook or an eater, like sort of a gourmet kind of eater, you would know Barbara Lynch. She has a restaurant empire in Boston. She is nationally, if not internationally, acclaimed at this point as a really, truly great chef. And her story is incredible, absolutely incredible. She was raised in the projects in South Boston, and she has, you know, elevated to this very, very lofty place. And she never graduated from high school. Forget college, not even high school. She had a tough start. And she has a new memoir out. I will interview her tomorrow, so there'll be a little bit of discussion about this memoir in The Other Cape and the Gloucester Times.
Awesome. Okay.
But she is doing a talk on June 29th at 7 o'clock at the bookstore in Gloucester.
And we will mention that again.
Yeah.
Well, that's a full interview with Heather Atwood with the story behind the story. This is MSO News Sports.